My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Speaking of, it is opening week.
It is. Yes.
Does this feel like I think some people have been very quiet around the Browns over the last few months this offseason. I think it's been a very quiet offseason for the fans. I think that people, well, it's been a quiet offseason. I think the fans have been pretty quiet this offseason about what their expectations are. This feels, though, Sunday feels like a bigger open than I think we've had in quite a while. Somebody brought up online the Carolina Panthers open because of Baker and things like that. And I said, yeah, that was a very big emotional open.
That was very spicy.
That was. But this really feels like a referendum on everything here. It feels like there's so much at stake. And ultimately, it's one of 17. You can't lose an entire season in 1 week. You can't do it. Now, you can lose it in a month, but you got 4 tries at it. I mean, really, you can't lose all of it. I can't overreact to a lot of it, but we know there's going to be a lot of reaction to this. Good, bad, indifferent. There's going to be no indifference, I should say, on this open. I think this is a bigger open than we've had in quite some time.
Well, it feels...
Carolina's up there. I think Carolina ends up being the second biggest one because this is about our own guy. This is about our own team and how well this team's going to do.
It feels huge just because it's the Cowboys. Always the limelight's going to be on the Cowboys every single year, no matter what, no matter if they're good, no matter if they're bad. You know, the fact that they're involved in it, the Tom Brady aspect of it, the window of which, I mean, this is a marquee window for this game to be. So it's going to have a massive, massive audience. Like I can't imagine what the number is going to be. Probably Thursday night will still be the best, right? But this is going to be huge.
You mean Sunday night? Oh, Thursday night because of Kansas City.
Sorry.
I thought you meant like in general.
So this will probably be the second most watched game.
Friday night, we have the Brazil game.
Yeah, I don't know about that. I don't know how that's going to correlate. I don't even know. I bet there are some people that won't even know there's a game.
I agree with you.
They'll be invested in their kids.
The NFL is going to make a big deal about it because
they will.
It's the first time doing this.
Owen's right, but I forgot that there was even a game on Friday. I thought the Brazil game was on Sunday.
I did too until this whole thing about Texas shut out of Brazil right now. That's what brought it back into my mind.
Yeah, no live tweets from the game, it seems, for the people in the press box. And I know there's already been some players who have... groaned and moaned about going down there, so it seems that this is going to be... The NFL always does something that ends up being a success. I don't think this is going to end up being a huge, tremendous failure, but I definitely think there's some teams that would rather not... Some players on those two teams that would rather not go there. But I think that this is just... This is so big through every sense of the word, and I think obviously it starts and finishes with the quarterback, and you said you don't even know how to feel about the Browns this year. I mean, that was your text yesterday in the group.
It's the most uncertain.
No idea, the most uncertainty you didn't know how to feel.
And I want
to
be specific because there have been a lot of seasons where I've just thought, I am very certain we are going to be a bad football team, which stinks when you go into a season like that because everybody, no matter how bad your team is, you're supposed to have optimism. And I'm like, they are going to be terrible this year. And a lot of those times I was right, unfortunately. There were years where I thought we were going to be really good. Obviously, the 2019 season comes to mind, where I was pretty certain we were going to be good, and we were not. So just because I'm certain about something doesn't in any way make it mean anything more than it should. I told Ken, I told the group yesterday, I am so uncertain about this team. I have no idea what to expect. I know they're talented, but I know there are a lot of teams in the NFL that are talented in a lot of different ways, and that's not even accounting for all the great rookies that are coming to the league and are going to be really good. I mean, who saw C.J. Stroud being that good last year with Houston and immediately turning their team around? So I ask you, like, what should I be certain about with the Browns other than I think we know their defense is going to be good?
I think that...
What are we certain of? The running game? The offensive line? Deshaun Watson? I think those are all no's. You can't be certain on those things.
No, I'm not certain about any of it.
And those are pretty important things.
With the exception of the defense, I think the defense is going to be really good. I'm not certain about any of it. I think you're right about it. I think a lot of people, and I think that's why people are pretty quiet about all this stuff to start off this year. Throughout this entire preseason, I mean, the 2019, you remember that 2019 preseason? I think we played Washington. And the first, like, play or the second play, I think it was the first series, they had a great big touchdown, and we thought it was going to be off to the races, and then things went to hell with the whole Titans thing, and then after that, it was just a mess. But I think you're right in so many words about what this team, what the expectations for this team is. I don't know if anybody really knows what to expect out of them. Because I'll say 10-7 doesn't sound great, and I'm like, well, you're in a tough division.
Conference,
you got quarterbacks coming back. You're in a tough conference. You're in a tough division. Ken, if they're better, well, I don't know if they're better. I think they might be as good. But are they better? We don't know who's necessarily going to be. It seems that Jack Conklin's going to be the left tackle. But we don't necessarily know Jack Conklin's going to be the left tackle. And we'll get more from Rodney McLeod, who will join us in studio for the hour coming up at 9 o'clock. He's going to do every Tuesday here on The Fan with us. But I think a lot of us are just kind of, well, we don't know. So I'm going to need a guy who plays for him to try to make me feel better about this, because it's not doom. I don't feel bad, but I know that the expectations are there, and because there's expectations, I think I get nervous. And not bad, I just want them to fulfill the expectations, because if they don't fulfill them, then people are going to be very, very upset. Plus, I think that people do look for some legitimacy out of the national media. They say they don't, and there are a couple people out there who really don't, but I think a lot of people do. I think a lot of people get excited if they put you up there in the pantheon of the other great teams in the NFL. I think a lot of people get excited to hear Shannon Sharpe say something like this. This was on First Take yesterday about who he has in the AFC Championship game.
When you look at that Cleveland Browns roster from top to bottom, now remember last year they finished number one in defense. This year, Deshaun Watson, if he goes back and be what he was his last year starting at Houston, well, it's over. With that defense and those weapons, with that offensive line, nah. It's so hard to pick up against Patrick Mahomes because he is that guy. He's the one guy that you don't pick against because he's proving it time and time again. For me, when I look at the Cleveland Browns, if Deshaun Watson is either now or never, he's under immense pressure, that big contract. And as of yet, he has yet to live up to it. But if they play, I just need Deshaun Watson to give me 85, 90% of what he once was. I like the Cleveland Browns and the Chiefs.
Audio courtesy ESPN. If he is that, he's right. I mean, they're a really good football team, and everybody's excited then. If he's not, well, then, you know, we have a lot of other issues that a lot of people are going to get into, because then it seems that this trade really didn't work. And I think a lot of people are holding their breath on something like that. Does that not feel the same way to you?
Yeah, absolutely.
So how do we feel about the season opener? Is it the biggest season opener? 216-474-0092. I think going up against the Cowboys makes it bigger. I think the whole, what is Deshaun going to do? Which, by the way, did you have a problem with him not playing against Seattle?
I wanted to see him play. I mean, I didn't make a federal case about it, but I was disappointed that we didn't get a chance to see him. If only, like we talked about in the lead up to that, if only to help our emotions going into the season, to take away some of that uncertainty. Like, as foolish as this sounds, and I'm admitting this is not very intellectual. This is not coming from a very, very smart, analytically based approach. But if I would have saw him come down the field and have one nice drive, I would have felt better about this game against Dallas. I know that's silly. That is the pinnacle of silly season.
I think a lot of people felt the same way with it. And that because he didn't, and because of the way, and I don't think that they handled it well. I don't think that Kevin Stefanski, to go over this again, I don't think Kevin Stefanski should have said anything the week before. There were a lot of things that could have happened that did happen in that Vikings game that changed, I think, their plans and what they wanted to do. I mean, the whole Jermaine Ifedi thing, then he gets cut, and now he's on their practice squad, but it's like they weren't going to put him out there with Jermaine Ifedi playing left tackle for him. Now they're going to have to put him out there, it seems, with Jack Conklin playing left tackle for him. We'll talk about that with John Greco coming up at around 8 o'clock this morning. But, Lyman, when you say what you say about wanting to see him, I think a lot of people felt that way. And I think that they had some people had trouble getting over not getting to see him. Not getting over not getting to see him in that game because they wanted something that they can grab onto to feel better about this game coming up, because I feel a lot of people feel the same way we do. I'm pensive. I'm locking into what this game's going to mean, to what this season is, to go with the ebbs and flows of the season. But also, I know, and I made a great big proclamation. I can't make any excuses for him on Monday morning. Like, it is what it is, and if it's great, it's great. If not, I got to call it like I see it.
Part of the reason that I have optimism at all with any of this is because the one thing Kevin Stefanski teams have done here in Cleveland, they've been able to battle some very, very weird circumstances, some weird weeks, decimated injuries, COVID. Like, they've been able to handle all of that and look like a normal football team, where for so many years we've had coaches where it was incompetence, and then you'd see that on display for 3 hours for a game. Like, I can't ever, with Stefanski at the helm, I can't ever just count them out and say, well, they didn't really play together the ones that often. I mean, this camp was probably, I guarantee if you were getting some truth out of Kevin Stefanski, he'd be like, this is the opposite of how I would ever want to conduct a camp.
Yeah.
Never having my guys, never having the first units, all the normal weapons, and my normal football team to get ready. That no football coach would ever want to do it this way. But the one thing we know about Cleveland teams under Stefanski is they find a way, despite all that, to still look not only like a competent football team, like a really good football team.
There is a, I think that there is a trust with him, at least with this show. I think that some fans don't necessarily feel it, but I think that there is a trust with him that things will be taken care of, at least in an operational way, and with a lot of organization to the organization and what they're doing. 216-474-0092. Does this feel like a bigger season opener compared to others? And I can't say I hate him, but I know I don't like him. It looks like Jack Conklin may very well be starting over at left tackle for the Cleveland Browns on Sunday. Here is head coach Kevin Stefanski on an update on Jed Wills.
He's getting close, so we'll see. But I wouldn't call it a setback. I'd say with any injury that you're rehabbing, you have to just treat it how it's responding and those type of things. So, you know, he wants to be out here last month. I mean, he wants to be out here 2 months ago, but just going to continue to treat him and make sure that we're doing what is right medically.
What happened here?
I don't know. I don't know.
I was hoping to ask you. I couldn't wait to get back on the radio, and I was going to say, I tell my wife, you know, me and my wife were having some very, very important conversations over the last week, many of them about Jedrick Wills, and I said to my wife, Sarah, what is going on with Jedrick Wills? She's like, well, you better ask your buddy Ken. And I say, well, I can't do that until Monday. Well, here we are Monday, 6:27, so Ken, what's going on with Jedrick Wills?
He had a knee scope, and apparently it takes 9 months to come back from a knee scope. I don't know. Now, there's something ain't right in there.
Setbacks pave the way for comeback.
No, 9 months later. Because 9 months later, I mean, there have been children who have been conceived and born in the time that Jed Wills has had his knee scoped and come back. And be like, well, you know what happened? Yeah, I understand it happened later in the season. I get that. So did it happen with DeJuan Jones. I mean, it's happened with other guys. Guys get their knee scoped. Now I'm imagining that his injury, like when I brought up Joel Bitonio. Yes, Joel Bitonio got a scope and came back in 2 weeks because he got it done over a bye week. But I wonder if that's maintenance. This was an injury. Still, I mean, 9 months later, and he's in a contract year. Like, this is a big deal. This is, I hope we understand this. I don't know what the issue is.
Yeah, obviously.
I've asked around, but, you know, mum's the word, HIPAA laws and such.
This was more complicated than I think anybody was letting on. I guess there still isn't really, in sports, I always wonder about this. Like, forget about the media, but just fans in general. Are we afforded any kind of, do we have the right to know this stuff? Do we have the right as fans to know about injuries. I mean, we, you know, gambling now being a part of the sport, they're supposed to be a little more transparent, right?
Didn't they get Belichick in trouble for not reporting things or false reporting things in the past? Like, yeah, and, you kind of...
And this isn't a quarterback, so nobody cares. Like, around the league, nobody is changing the Browns' win over-under total based on Jedrick Wills.
But by this...
But it's like, we're just sitting here going, you just got your knee scope 9 months ago. You're not... You missed the entire training camp.
By the letter of the law, isn't he doing what he's supposed to do? By the rules of what they are? Like, I don't think that they're broken any rules on reporting injuries or something. He's not out there. He's not out there. It's an injury. Like, that's what I'm saying.
No, the Browns aren't doing anything illegal or whatever. And I probably just... As we're having this conversation now, there are probably some people listening that don't care. They're just like, oh, whatever. Jack Conklin may be better anyway. Like, they probably don't care.
I think that's a very careless attitude to have.
It might be.
I don't agree with that idea. Go ahead.
But just overall, like, I always wonder when me and you sit there and we will hear things about certain players and we're like, well, that doesn't seem like a certain team is being very honest about a player and their surgery or a player and their recovery, their rehab efforts. This one, just kind of a mystery all the way around.
Yeah, I worry about this. Because, guys, like Jack Conklin, when's the last time he played a full season? He's never played a full season with us. And I've kind of been jokey here and there, but it's true. Like, when Jack Conklin goes down, and I don't think it's a question if, I think it's a question of when. When Jack Conklin goes down, all right, who's going to fill that void over at left tackle again? Like, I think we're kind of putting a Band-Aid on a Band-Aid here, where I don't know when Jed Wills is going to be back. So if we're trending towards better, well, how long are we – how long's the ramp up? How long's the trend? Like, I don't anticipate
– My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I don't anticipate just putting them out there on Sunday. So I think that Sunday is probably already a wash. Is week two available then? Is that the ramp up then against Jacksonville on the road? Like, I'm serious about this. Mm-hmm. Like, when do you get that guy out there? Because he's a top 10 pick. This is a contract year for him. I don't think he's not that great, but he's not as bad as what some of us make him out to be. He has a penalty every game that really sets us up for anger, but he's not as bad as what a lot of us want to make him out to be because he's not Joe Thomas.
Well, it's funny. I bet if you polled right now our fan base, they feel better with Jack Conklin, somebody who hasn't played. When's the last time he played left tackle?
Do you feel better with Jack Conklin?
College.
No, I would have felt better if Jedrick Wills would have been here all of camp and been able to play. I probably would have felt better if that was the situation. Now,
so you don't feel good?
It feels like this could just be throwing darts and hoping.
I think that's kind of what they're doing here at the left tackle position. Now, he's a veteran presence, Jack Conklin is, and he played a lot of left tackle in college. He had 35 games over at the left tackle position, so it's not like he doesn't know what he's doing over there. Like, this was one of the things that we talked about in the offseason where if I could have, which I thought Jed Wills would be able to walk around, I didn't realize it was going to be this type of rehab, for crying out loud. But if you would have been able to do it, t-shirts and shorts during OTAs, like, all right, let's see where DeJuan Jones is, maybe on the left side. What do we put Jed Wills over there on the right side? And I asked DeJuan Jones after the Seahawks game, and he said point blank, like, no, I'm not good at playing left tackle. I can't play left tackle. Keep me over at the right tackle spot. Like, he was very, very honest about that. All right, well, he barely had any experience over at left tackle. So some people look at his size and they think naturally he's a left tackle. He's a right tackle. DeJuan Jones is. For Jed, Jed's been a left tackle this entire time, but we've always this entire time said that his natural position is right tackle. So I got three left tackles. I got nobody over there at the left tackle position, and I got to figure out something to do against Dallas, which is going to have a defense and is going to have a pass rush against Deshaun Watson. So it's right now I got to piecemeal it together if I'm Kevin Stefanski, because it seems that Jed Wills just isn't ready to go, and now I'm kind of holding up my arms going, when is he going to be ready? When is he going to be ready?
And what's he even going to look like when he's there?
And what's he going to look like when he's there?
Because he already had his issues, was not at times the most confident of guys over there. And I think a lot of the fan base feels the same way, not necessarily that confident about him.
Lima Likes coming up at 6:40. By the way, how far up are the Cowboys on the list of hated teams?
Yeah, I was thinking about this, because when we talk about the hated teams, it's always the Steelers, right, in the NFL, you know, obviously Yankees are going to come up. The Red Sox are going to come up. Boston Celtics, I think, for a lot of people. We've had playoff battles with them over the years. The Cowboys is interesting, because there are going to be a lot of Cowboy fans in that stadium, right?
I would imagine. Much to my
chagrin. I
don't
think it's going
to
be a takeover, though. It is our opener.
Mitch is a Cowboys fan. So, I mean, he'll...
No, I'm not.
Oh, I just assumed you were.
I relinquished my part-time status with the Cowboys like 2 years ago.
Is that how that works?
There wasn't enough room with the Yankees, the Duke, Blue Devils.
You're a Duke fan too?
No,
and
you just
the
made
Tar
that
Heels,
up.
Both.
Oh, and the Tar Heels.
Are you a Tar Heel fan too?
I'll be for the Tar Heels if Ohio State's not in it.
Okay. So you're a couple. So who are you rooting for on Sunday?
Browns.
You sure?
Positive.
There will be a lot of Cowboys fans there, though. I think Cowboys fans, because they're such a large fan base, it's all like, are the Yankees and Guardians rivals? No. But do you hate the Yankees? Yes. So are the Cowboys and Browns rivals? No. Do you hate the Cowboys? Probably leaning towards yes, because there's going to be so many of them and they travel so well.
For
I
me,
imagine
it's
there's
always
going to
been,
be a lot of fans there.
For me, it's always just been sick and tired of hearing about the Cowboys.
Yes.
Like their uniforms are awesome. The national games, it was always cool when I was young. They were great when I was young. The Troy Aikman, Emmitt Smith, Michael Irvin teams were awesome to watch. They were. I'm just so sick of everything outside of that. Like the just constant discussion. Football pod. And Dak Prescott, contract situation. I'm like, man.
But they are a dramatic team.
They are. Absolutely.
Jerry Jones keeps them dramatic. They're a history-making team with a lot of different things that they've done.
By the way, always been entertained by Jerry Jones.
Yeah.
I mean, the fact you have an NFL owner that, he picks the players. We talk about meddling owner.
He does a weekly interview.
He
gives the truth of what he sees every single week, come hell or high water. I mean, you don't hear that from other owners.
And they win.
You just don't.
They win a lot of games. They win a lot of regular season games.
And because he's desperately trying to, because everybody gives Jimmy credit for the third championship that they won during that time out of 4 years. It's like he's desperately trying to get another Super Bowl before he clocks out, which is morbid, but it's true. And because of that race to do it, I think it's made him more uneven. I think it's made him a little bit more bizarre, but I think it's made him a little bit more fun. But no, I think the Cowboys, because for the exact same reason you say, as a host, they're fun to talk about. If you're hosting a national show, they are a hoot to talk about. And that's why I think so many of them do. And they do draw a lot of ratings, because they do draw a lot of people to listen to them. But at the same time, I think if you're a fan of another team, you're sick and tired of hearing about the Cowboys. So that makes you dislike the Cowboys very, very much.
And so if you are beating the Cowboys at home to kick off your season,
it would make it a very big start to the season.
And your quarterback looks good.
Which would make this the biggest season opener in comparison to a lot of others. Maybe with the exception of the Carolina one, except the Carolina one was in Carolina. It wasn't in Cleveland. This is in Cleveland. It's got Brady. This might be the biggest opener since 99.
For everybody over the last week, going after me on social media, where have you been? Convenient. The team collapses. They might miss the playoffs. Where are you this morning? Guardians, 3.5 games up.
Calling them out.
Alike.
Listen to you calling them out.
99% chance to make the postseason. And
I'm alive.
Lane Thomas. What did he do yesterday? 2 for 4, and he had a massive home run that following the game against Pittsburgh, finishing off that series in a huge rubber match win, going 3 for 4. Is anybody hotter than Lane Thomas? What an acquisition at the deadline. All right, it's two games. But Stephen Vogt's pretty happy.
He's on the fastball. You know, I think Lane got off to a slow start with us. That's it. He's a great player. He's going to be a big part of us moving forward. You know, he's been swinging the bat really well the last few games, and he's getting more aggressive, which is great, and aggressive to good pitches.
Thank God he's doing something. This was looking really, really bad.
It was looking terrible.
And, you know, two games is not going to change everything, but some confidence. Mm. You know how weird baseball players are, how they can emerge out of nowhere, and this is when they need them. I mean, this was looking really, really bad last week. I sat at home, and I did. I had to sit there and read the mentions, and it did. It looked like a total collapse by the Guardians, but they were able to get some starting pitching performances. Not to mention,
I'm alive.
But Alex Cobb was perfect through 6 over the weekend.
On Sunday.
Yep. Yeah. Boyd was terrific.
Yes.
I mean, the starting rotation now looks like they might be able to give you a shot for a postseason run. I think you got to be feeling really good. And they finally
I'm alive.
Pulled the trigger on Manzardo. And what did he do over the weekend?
He had 2 homers Sunday.
2 home run game. So look, I know what they did at the deadline. It's never going to get people excited. It just isn't. I think the Andrew Miller thing was basically a one and done. I don't know if they're going to be able to conjure that
Andrew
up every
Miller
year.
Andrew Miller was so much fun because we had talked about him for so long, and then they actually went and got him. Like, that was talked about like before the season even started, that they could go after that guy. So that's what made that fun. Like, yeah, that doesn't happen every single year. There's been a couple like that, but it's rare.
All right, I know it didn't look pretty for a half, but
Lima likes
Ohio State. They found their footing in the second half, but the real story, I think, watching them,
Lima likes
Jeremiah Smith. He started the game with a drop.
Amazing.
And then a penalty.
Amazing.
And you're like, wait a second, this was supposed to be by the end of the recruiting period. People were saying this is the best recruit in the country. Ooh. And when you get the best recruit in the country, you know, you expect a guy to dazzle. And then when you saw him, and once he got a little more comfortable out there, I think mm-hmm. there were some early nerves. And again, it was Akron. Akron held tough.
Did they or did they not cover?
They held tough for a half.
Then they covered.
They did. And
they covered.
And their quarterback got bounced out of the game, then he tried to come back. I felt bad for him. He wanted to gut that out in front of the shoe. He wanted to play so bad.
He looked like Diamond Dallas Page out there. Just getting beat up, coming back out, getting beat up again.
And they did not care. They were going to run draws. They were going to put him in harm's way. They did not care.
They ran tempo. Everybody was like, whoa. I heard Paul Keels, and then I was watching.
Yeah, Nestler so, and.
Yeah, I was because I was coming home from Axel's win on Saturday.
Yeah.
So,
Lima likes.
Yeah. And both of them were like, I can't believe they're running tempo here. This is pretty bananas. I thought they'd keep it down, and they stayed with it. I mean, as much as Akron's going to stay with a team like Ohio State, they stayed with them.
That C.J. Nunnally was wrecking our offensive line. Yeah. That was one thing I do have to say.
Lime-a-no-lipes.
The Buckeye offensive line, that is not a national championship offensive line, what I saw in that game. I know it's game one.
Ooh. That's game one because did you see Michigan's offensive line?
Mm-hmm.
It didn't get a whole lot of push against Fresno State.
No. No.
Fresno State does not have the biggest defensive line I've ever seen. Like they didn't get a whole lot of push. So maybe
they didn't look great in that first half either.
Maybe it's game one.
The revamp Big Ten, Kenny. I mean, Oregon was a bit of a struggle for a while, but then USC doing what they did. And overall, how many teams are in the Big Ten now? They're like 18. What did they go 17-1?
Yeah. Yeah, Minnesota lost.
No.
Yeah, it was Minnesota that dropped it. They lost to UNC last Thursday night. Yep.
Yeah, that was the one that got lost in the shuffle because I was in Buffalo.
They did shoot off the fireworks, though.
They did shoot off the fireworks by accident, yeah.
I don't care. Hey, Guardians, we shoot off fireworks.
Fireworks here. What are we going to do with them?
You paid for them? Use them. What are you going to do? Just eat them? There have been a lot of conversations around college football, the cheating scandal, and Michigan. And now I don't think, and we've talked about this a lot, I don't think they're going to lose the national championship. I do think the rumor mongering is fun. It's good to put a fear into Michigan and what might happen. But ultimately, I don't think anything's going to happen. But this is what's going to happen. And this is what should happen.
Lima likes.
You're going to get humiliated over time when people talk about that season. Here's Mike Gundy, the Oklahoma State coach.
If anybody's a good IT guy, we'll get the guy from Michigan down here and let him hook me up. Even though he didn't do it. What was that song? You should know. Yeah, the song, it was kind of a partial rap in the shower. It caught me. I didn't do it. It wasn't me.
Shaggy.
What was it?
It wasn't me.
That's right. It wasn't me.
All right. Mike Gundy, by the way, his hair looks – it's a new season. It's a new hairstyle.
Kind of looks like Mike Leach.
Mike Gundy. It is crazy.
Because Mike Leach had – curly hair, and it's sat on top.
It's
and
now so, a perm. He's got like a perm going up top.
He looks like a guy who has a toupee on and also a convertible.
Yeah.
Yeah, he does look like he has a toupee, but he doesn't. Right? Because we've seen...
I don't think it's a toupee.
We've seen him over time grow out the mullet.
But it's got that nice second color that's underneath the top layer color, and then it's all fluffy.
So this is the penalty, right? People are wondering, how do you penalize a team like Michigan? This is the penalty.
Yeah.
That anytime people refer to Michigan's national championship, it's always going to be that. It's going to be the cheap shots. It's going to be the laughter by the reporters. They all knew what he was talking about. They didn't get any penalty from the NCAA. They're not getting their championship ripped away. They're not getting the championship vacated. None of that is happening. This is what's happening. Fine with it.
It's the same as the Astros. If you played on the Astros team, you get booed.
Yes.
You still get booed.
Yeah. And you know what?
Fine with
and
that.
Guess what? Michigan fans don't care because they got their championship. This is how this gets worked out over time.
Yeah, but eventually people just stop caring, don't they? Maybe not in college football.
You know,
pros, they do.
Yeah. I mean, like your rivals are always going to toss.
So let me ask you.
No matter what, right? But the thing that's different about the Michigan situation is Oklahoma State's not a rival. Like around college football, I was on a conference call last week with the Buffalo coaching staff, and because of the new communication, Michigan came up. It just came up, and it's always a laughter. It's always an eye roll.
Around the room, would you do the same thing they did to win a national championship, yes or no? Owen.
Yes.
Lima.
Yeah.
Mitch.
Hell yes.
4 out of 4 would do the same thing. And I said, I go, they don't care. They get their championship. Yeah. They're not going to take it away because of what the NCAA is now. And I got some people going, I thought you were a man of integrity. And I go, I thought that this was professional football now. Like these guys, you're paying.
If it was good enough for Navy football, then it was good enough for Michigan football, then it's good enough for Owen.
I figured, yeah.
Listen,
I go, what are we doing here?
The penalty they paid is their head coach got the hell out of there. Their incredible head coach who was the hometown guy, right? The alma mater, played his football there. They won the championship. He beats Michigan 3 straight years. And he has to leave because of this. That's the penalty. And that the jokes will not die down for a long time. You're right. Eventually, they'll probably go away. But think about it. Your documentaries, every book written about their national championship, even written from Michigan perspective, will have to mention this because it was such a part of their season. They rallied around it.
True.
So it's never going away.
True.
So it's always going to be talked about. And that is what you're going to have to deal with if you're a Michigan fan. That's it. That's it for Lima Lights.
Outstanding.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. you get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.